This is Pittsburgh Explainer from 90.5 WESA. Every week, we help you catch up on the headlines from southwestern Pennsylvania. It's Friday, December 25th. Merry Christmas, and thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Liz Reed. Today in Pittsburgh, we'll get 9 hours, 17 minutes, and 35 seconds of sunlight. That's 37 seconds more than we got on Monday, the winter solstice, and the shortest day of the year. While those 37 seconds might not actually make much difference for any of our lives, the knowledge that the days are getting longer and the nights are getting shorter is particularly welcome for many people this year. And it comes just as the first COVID-19 vaccinations are being given to healthcare workers in the United States. The collective sense of relief is palpable. But we're a ways off from the first blooms of spring and even further from the true end of this pandemic, which means there's still a lot of darkness, both literal and metaphorical, to contend with. To explore how we might do this, I talked with Erica Shadowsong. She's the Lifespan Religious Education Director at the First Unitarian Church of Pittsburgh. On Monday, she guided the church's annual winter solstice service. Erica, you're a Unitarian Universalist. Can you talk about what that means and why your church holds a solstice service?
In a nutshell, although it does come from a Christian heritage, and that is still a part of, you know, its identity, Unitarian Universalists have made their community, instead of being based on having the same creedal beliefs about things that we can't really prove, instead of being united by that, we are united by agreed upon values about how we want to be in community with each other and what we believe our responsibilities in the world are. Within those responsibilities is your own personal search for truth and meaning and to help each other along our journeys. We recognize that that can change, that journey is going to change for people. People change their religious identity in terms of what their core beliefs are. I have found a home here, not because it's a serious theology so much for me, but because I want to be in community with people who share my values. And I want to be somewhere where I feel like I'm spending my time and my energy doing something that matters with other people who want to do the same. So as such, it has become a place for people who don't have another place. Pagans have shown up in Unitarian Universalist churches. Humanists and atheists have shown up. People who are not sure where they want to be yet. People who have multiple religions in one family, people who have identities that they've experienced persecution in their religious homes, those are the people who tend to come to our churches. And so we do have a little pagan contingent that really cares about the solstice. And I found out recently that it's been 20 years at least that they've been doing this at this church.
The story you chose for this year's solstice service is the Greek myth of Persephone's descent into the underworld. Why did you choose that myth?
I chose that myth because that's a very challenging story, I think. And to me, the solstice is about going into the dark. It's about appreciating the spiritual gifts that being in solitude and aloneness can give. And Persephone does not, at least as far as the way the story is told, it doesn't seem like she goes there of her own free will. And so it is a really, really challenging story, but she stays there. She becomes a queen of the underworld, and she's able to go back and forth between both realms. And so to me, I thought there was something there to explore.
Why don't you remind us of this myth? Tell us the story.
So Persephone is the daughter of Demeter, who is the goddess of, is an earth goddess, wheat, grain, agriculture. She's basically gives the bounty of the earth. And her daughter she has a similar life energy and similar abilities. I picture her as running through a field and flowers springing up behind her. but anyway, she's just the picture of youthful life. And then Hades comes up from the underworld and grabs her and takes her down to the underworld. And once she's there, she can't leave. Demeter doesn't know where her daughter is, and she's tearing her hair out. And she talks to the different gods to try to find out. And when she finds out, she goes to the top gods, Zeus and Hera, who say that they can't do anything because she's in the underworld. You don't come back from the underworld. So she grieves and bides her time. And as she does that, the world begins to suffer because she is withholding her bounty from the earth. She's grieving. And so the life that was there is not there anymore. And so the gods finally realize, okay, we got to do something, because if we don't make her happy, then we're not gonna have people alive, because we're not gonna be able to eat. So they come up with a deal with Hades where Persephone can come back to the world of the living if she hasn't eaten anything from the underworld. But then the version of the story differs here depending on what version you read, but somehow she eats a pomegranate seed. Some people say that she was tricked into it. Some people like to interpret it as she did it on purpose. And so then she's not able to go up. But because they need to keep Demeter happy, she is allowed to visit for 6 months on the world of living. And when she's visiting during those 6 months, the world is fruitful and sunny and living and, you know, everything we need. And then when she's gone for the other 6 months of the year, Demeter is grieving and in solitude. And so the world is cold and deader, and all those things are gone because she's sad.
And what does this myth demonstrate for us that we can sort of apply to this time of the year, that we can apply to our thinking about the winter solstice?
I had to really struggle with that. And I realized that the answer to understanding that was to understand Persephone and to understand what Hades and Persephone actually represent as powers and forces of nature, not as characters, human-like characters. They represent death and life. And this is one story of many cultural tales that shows a situation where even somebody very, very powerful cannot escape death. That death is final, and it's, you know, it's got its rules, and people have to deal with grieving in regard to that and accepting that. And so to me, it's partly about that. But in Persephone's case, she makes the best of the situation. We don't get the story from her point of view. The way I tell the story is that the minute she shows up in the underworld, she still has these goddess powers of life. She starts to change the underworld around her. And then Hades makes her queen. She is powerful because she is able to live in both places. She is the epitome of balance. And that's what I think the solstice has to offer us, is being able to appreciate the balance that can come with going into this time of year instead of just dreading it or trying to hide from it.
It almost demonstrates that sometimes things are scarier when they're imaginary. And when you face them, you realize that you're strong enough to right. deal with those things.
Exactly. I've done meditations into darkness, you know, where I'm imagining going into a dark place, and other pagans do similar things. And you find something there. You know, you have an image, or you have a message, or you have a feeling, and you find something there. So it's not nothingness. It's not as scary as it seems. I remember one personal revelation I felt like I had when I did a meditation like that was, wow, this is really restful. This is really peaceful. I could see wanting this at some point in my life.
A lot of the discussion and celebration of the solstice really focuses on it as a turning point. Now the light is coming back after a dark time. Sounds like what you're arguing is that there's value in embracing the darkness as well.
Yes, and also because that may be a more appropriate for a modern audience, because we're no longer totally dependent on the sunlight to, you know, in ancient times, people really, it made sense for them to really want to herald the sun to come back. I mean, it was life and death for them. For us, I think of it in terms of like a spiritual lesson. The solstice night is a vigil. It can be a solitary vigil. It doesn't have to be a solitary vigil. But some people celebrate the solstice by staying up all night on the longest night of the year and just being together. So why would you want to miss that? That's really kind of neat to be there in that place. Without the darkness, we wouldn't have this beautiful time of the year where people are decorating their trees that everybody loves. So there's something comforting and wonderful about that. And so I'm leaning into the comfort that's there. I'm leaning into embracing it and owning it, as opposed to feeling like it's something we have to just get through.
Something I sort of realized last winter that I'm so grateful I did, because it's serving me this winter, is that I don't have to be the same person in the winter that I am in the summer. Basically that I can change just as the seasons change, and that almost makes it feel more, not only more manageable, but like it almost feels nice.
They often say that the time for storytelling in Indigenous cultures is the winter time, because people are going to be home and, you know, they can't be out. I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's one of the major things that I get out of my path, is over the years I have learned to really enjoy the seasons and understand that there's a season to every part of my life. And there's always change. There's always something next coming up around the corner. And so to be there for a little bit before you go to the next change, to turn that into an observance or a celebration is really fun. And Persephone is one of many goddesses who kind of exemplifies exactly what you described, because she's got a dark aspect and a light aspect. She manages to be both. One of the big lessons, I think, for this year with COVID-19 is I'll just remember how in the beginning, how frantic government officials were and people were in general, because suddenly the world wasn't acting according to our calendar, our needs, our deadlines, our priorities. And they're saying things like, okay, we think we're gonna be back by Memorial Day, as if Memorial Day weekend means something to the forces of nature. And so I feel like this experience, which has been really, really hard, it's challenging, but I feel like this experience is a humbling one to remind us that there are things we can't control. And there's something to be said for being more in touch with nature and you know, the forces that we can't control, and learning how to go along with them and how to adjust and adapt to them as opposed to fighting them.
We've been talking a lot about the literal light and darkness, and you kind of started to touch on this just now. For those of us who have lost someone this year, or just whose lives have been completely turned upside down, people who have lost jobs, lost their homes, even just lost the community that they depended on. So can you talk about the sort of like this metaphorical darkness that we sort of collectively find ourselves in right now, and what lessons we might take from these sort of historic observations and thinking about the solstice?
Sure. Well, let me first be really, really honest and say, my situation has been very, very fortunate that I have kept my job. I've been able to work from home. So I have not experienced the loss and devastation that a lot of people have. So I don't know that I could speak to that. And for me, I needed to see the world interrupted in a way, because there are a lot of things that are business as usual that shouldn't be. And it gave me some sense of hope to see that there was something that could stop us long enough to figure out, oh, we've got these serious problems we really need to solve. And now they're really, really obvious. It's more of an opportunity and a responsibility to take this time to not go back to business as usual, to make sure that when we do go back, it's not just the same, because the problems aren't going to go away. As far as metaphorical darkness, you know, as an introvert, I'm kind of biased on this, but I'm also prone to depression. And I believe that one thing that's really difficult for people is to be alone with their thoughts. That can be really, really uncomfortable. That's one of the reasons why we binge watch TV, you know, especially when you're done with a day of work. It's hard to sit with nothing. In those times, that's where creativity is born. if you can sit with that discomfort for a little bit, creativity can come out of that. We can be really innovative in that. There's also the benefit of taking the time to go inward and focus on nurturing the inward. And then most importantly, especially because of the struggles that people are having, reaching out to each other. This time has forced people like me, who are used to being alone and perfectly happy with it to some degree, to have to reach out and reconnect. I've been more in touch with friends from my past than I've ever been. I'm not exactly sure why, but I just felt like I needed to. So I think that's something that has been positive that comes out, and that's how we get through.
Erica Shadowsong is the Lifespan Religious Education Director at the First Unitarian Church of Pittsburgh. Erica, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. It was really great to talk about this. Thank you.
Keep well through the long night, and keep warm through the cold time. In the deep heart of the midnight, light a candle for the dawn. Keep a center in the darkness, keep a vigil through the silence, and remember that the spring will come again.
That's Pittsburgh Explainer for this week. Our show is produced by Katie Blackley. Larkin Page Jacobs is our managing editor. You can find all of our news coverage at our website, WESA.FM, and of course on the air at 90.5 FM. I'm Liz Reed. Thanks for listening. Let's talk next week.
Keep a center in the darkness. Keep a vigil through the silence. And remember that the spring will come again. And remember that the spring will come.